Hello there, friends. It's your old pal, Ariel Helwani, back with another edition of the Wednesday Pod. Now, before we get into things, you may have noticed that this particular podcast feed has changed just a little bit. There's now a new logo. It's the DC and Helwani logo, and the feed is now officially known as DC and Helwani, since that's the Monday flagship show. Now, this show, the Wednesday Pod, is still technically called Ariel Helwani's MMA Show, and I'll continue to refer to it as the Helwani Show. That's not going anywhere. It just so happens to be all under the DC and Helwani umbrella. All right? Not a big deal. Hope you like the new logo. It's nice to freshen things up. Also, speaking of freshening things up, the NFL season is back. Yes, the NFL is back on Thursday. They officially kick off, and I wanted to remind you all about some of our outstanding football podcast right here at ESPN. I've listened to every single one of them, and none of them are saying that the Buffalo Bills are going to win the Super Bowl. And guess what? They are all wrong. We got shows like the Adam Schefter podcast. We got the Bill Barnwell show. We got the Mina Kimes show featuring Lenny. Whether you're a hardcore fan or a casual football fan, I guarantee you there's a podcast for you if you like pigskin football. You can search for these shows wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, leave them a review. Tell them I sent you. And while you're there, leave me a review and tell those people that I sent you as well. All right, now on to today's program. And remember, as always, listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
Back in your life on this Wednesday, September 9th, 2020. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new edition of the pod. And as always, we are presented by Modelo. Modelo Especial. Brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Now, my friends, we got a lot to discuss. A lot going on, as always, in the world of MMA. In fact, towards the end of today's program, I'll share some MMA news and notes. So stay tuned for that. A little preview of this coming weekend's fights, all that stuff and more. Also, we will talk to Gerald Merchart, my first time talking to GM3. And let me tell you, this guy is going to get you fired up for next weekend's fight against Khamzat Chimaev. They have booked him against Khamzat Chimaev, and they have also booked Khamzat's fight after that fight against Damian Maia. The disrespect is on 11 here. It's unbelievable. He will get you fired up. He's the ultimate underdog, so stay tuned for that. But first, let us talk to the great Alistair Overeem, who, of course, is coming off a big win over Augusto Sakai this past weekend. What a legend he is. Fighting in MMA since 1999, he is now 40 years young, and he is still a player in the heavyweight division. Always great to catch up with Overeem. And this time, by the way, a very reflective Alistair Overeem. It was a lot of fun talking to him. Enjoy. Let us kick things off today with the one and only Alistair Overeem, who was victorious this past Saturday in Las Vegas against Augusto Sakai, picked up his 47th pro MMA victory in his 66th fight, four decades strong. Alistair Overeem, unbelievable. How are you, my friend? Congratulations.
I'm good. I'm great, actually. Good performance. We're back in the Netherlands now. Back with my kids, because in camp I separated myself from them. And yeah, life could not be better.
By the way, how long are you away from your family? Because you go to Colorado, right? And then you go to Vegas. So in total, how long are you away from them?
And I think it was 8 or 9 weeks total this time.
Oh my
God. Usually it's 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks.
Right. But I did notice in this particular buildup to this particular fight, you were talking, like, for the first, you always, every time we try to talk to you about the end and retirement stuff, you were like, no. But this time, like, you are talking about the end. You are talking about things like that. Is it because you're missing your family? Do you feel like it's kind of draining on you?
I definitely think it's part of it. But it's also, it's on my terms, right? I mean, people have been talking about retirement for 15 years. Yeah. I listened to those people. I mean, nothing would have ever happened. Right.
Yeah, of course. If we would have spoke back in 1999, back in 2000, 2001, and we would have talked about your career and we would have said in 2020, you were beating up youngsters and you were fighting in almost 70 pro MMA fights, would you have believed me?
When are you telling me this? How many years ago?
2000, 2001, 19, 20 years ago.
2001. I would probably not have believed you, right? That it would have become this big of an adventure. But maybe on the other hand, it would. I mean, I was crazy enough back then about it, right? Mm-hmm. Passionate enough, let me put it that way. Passionate slash crazy.
It does feel like you do love it as much as you did in the beginning. Like, I could see genuine joy on your face as you're preparing for the fights. Like, the whole process, fight week, all that stuff, you still, I mean, usually you do something for 20 something years, you kind of get tired of it. It seems like you still have that same passion for it. Am I right?
Yeah, no, I like it. I love it. And it has nothing to do with the attention, but it's just doing what I want to do. Because I've never really cared about that. I mean, in the beginning, there's no attention. Now there's no fans. I never really did it for that. But yeah, I just really love to compete. I'm good at it, right? I've won like 80%. We got 4 world titles. We're still kind of in the mix for the UFC title. But I don't know. I love the process. I love staying fit. I love eating healthy, getting ready for these guys.
Yeah, speaking of which, I was thinking about that on Saturday as I was watching you walk out to the cage. You're a guy who fought in front of tens of thousands of people in Japan, all over the world, right? On the biggest stages in combat sports. And now here you are at the UFC Apex at the headquarters in Las Vegas in front of no one, a small cage, small venue. It's not even an arena. What was that like for you?
Yeah, so the last fight was in Jacksonville, same deal, right? No fans. To me, I like it because it's just like sparring. You're sparring a stranger, and there's just no audience. It's just like you would be in the gym. Only it's televised for millions of people. Yeah, it's something new. New impulses intrigue me. So, and that's why I like it. Probably after a couple of fights, I would get bored with it. I would prefer fans. But right. As of now, I still enjoy it. I still like it.
Now, Apex different than the one in Jacksonville, though, because at least that was a real arena, right? So it felt kind of big. This one is a lot more quaint. Do you notice the difference?
Yeah, correct. This is like a very, very, yeah, you know, you hear everything. It's not a lot of people in the, and the other, Jacksonville is still big, right? This is an empty arena. This is a small. But to me, it doesn't matter. It's all good.
What about the smaller cage? How did you feel about that?
Yeah, it didn't affect me too much.
Didn't notice a difference?
Not that small, right? I mean, you have me, I would say it's a medium cage. And then you have a large cage. Large cage, you can run around in there. Medium cage, this was a medium cage. There was still enough movement possible. Everything was possible. And then with the small cage, there's not a lot possible. So to me, it was a medium cage.
Okay. Correct me if you feel otherwise, but it seemed like the fight started a little slow for you, that he won the first 2 rounds. What was going on in those first 2 rounds for you? And then how did you reverse course?
Well, I didn't want to, you know, it's 5 rounds.
Yeah.
But to me, it was like, let me just fight him a little bit, see what happens. I could see the finish on the ground anyways, right? Submission or ground and pound. but let's just see where the fight goes. Let's just cruise control. Let's just flow with it.
So you weren't worried at all?
No, I was not too worried. He punches hard, but I was not too worried.
Was that the plan, to take your time, to take him into deep waters, because you're a lot more used to fighting 5 rounds than he is?
Yeah.
Interesting. At any point, did he seriously hurt you?
No.
Nothing? You didn't feel anything?
No.
Wow. What about the end of the 4th round there? Did you think that the fight would get stopped with your ground and pound?
The coaches were doing an awesome job in directing me, and they were like, listen, this fight is about to get finished. He's basically finished. Just get the takedown and finish him. So that was where my instructions going into the 5th.
Okay.
Yeah.
But when you were actually raining blows towards the end of the 4th, did you think the fight would get stopped?
I think I probably had to do a little bit more.
Okay.
right? And in the fifth, we turned it a little bit more on him, right? More vicious elbows, more. It's good to have, in my opinion, different levels, right? Not just go, but just, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit more now, a little bit less. You know, that's 30 minutes with the break. You need to kind of,
You're sort of covering the camera there. I see your hand covering it there.
Bad,
you see that? I don't mean to correct you, Alistair. You know, I have the utmost respect, but you know, I don't want to see half your face over there. So, I mean, what a lovely face it is. All those scars, you must wear them proudly, right? Do you love the scars? You love the scars, right?
I don't have a problem with them, no. I mean, they'll tell a story, right?
Right.
There's a lot of stories. Let me put it that way.
Which is your favorite story on your face?
Well, favorite story. I don't really talk too much about them, but if somebody asks, I'll tell them.
Okay,
right? Is there a favorite story? No, there's not really. There's not. I mean, it's just a lot of war battles, travel, figuring out again, right? What are we gonna do next? A lot of adventure. I was built for that. I was built for adventure, and I got adventure. Right?
Yes.
I just followed hard, and that's exactly what I got.
If for some reason
I was not built for a 9-to-5,
absolutely a desk job, if you will.
Yeah, or you know, with all due respect to everybody performing those jobs, or like a construction job, or you know, anything like mundane, boring. I just couldn't.
If for some reason it ended today, your career ended for whatever reason, would you feel content, or do you still feel like there's more to prove?
There's definitely more to prove, but I would definitely feel content, and I would definitely feel very grateful. Right? Again, because I was built for adventure. I ventured out. I just followed my heart. Because let's not forget, 20 years ago when I started, actually was my first fight was 97. So that's 23 years ago, exactly almost to the date. Fighting was not that popular. So yeah, nobody really knew what they were doing. Japan was like the number one market. Oh, come on. Huh? Yeah, come on. Hey, come on. Look who's here. Look who's here.
Oh,
hey,
yes.
Yes, come. Look up television. Come.
The stars of the show.
Come down.
The mini reams. Hello. Hey. It's your old Uncle Ariel here. Hey. Do they have iPads? You ever get them an iPad, Alistair?
Oh, they got iPads.
Yeah.
they're very athletic, so they're not really. They can do it. They can do it like 30 minutes a day or something, or an hour a day, two times 30 minutes a day, and they just want to run around. And
that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were telling us back in '97, no one liked fighting, right?
Well, no, it was not that big of hype. There was not that much money involved. There was not nobody really knew what they were doing. And I don't know, I just liked it, followed my heart, you know, wanting adventure, and got it.
Mm. Were you nervous back then, like before those early fights? Did you get scared? Did you feel anything?
Like what?
Nerves, anxiety, fear.
I never really had anxiety. I guess I'm a little bit tough there, I guess. I never really ever had anxiety. I can just put myself over that.
Wow.
But I mean, there's tension, right?
Yeah.
And it is a real fight.
When were you your happy? Like, what's the happiest moment of your career? Maybe the best is yet to come. But if I asked you what moment put the biggest smile on your face, you will remember this moment when you're 90 years old telling your great grandkids about your great career. What's the moment that comes to mind?
Well, okay. So obviously... it would be this moment, right? Because there's so much stuff outside of fighting. Obviously, there's going to be big fights, big wins, championships. But no, I think these moments, because my girls are there, my daughters. Life outside of the cage is rocking, is great. And life is accomplished, right?
Do your girls at home, do they understand what you do? Like, do they know that you go and fight? Like, how do they process this?
Well, we kind of bring it that as sport, right? Boxing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is boxing. So that is going to Denver to train, to box. And they'll watch.
After the fact?
After the fact.
Okay.
This is just a little check that is not going to be too crazy. But they saw the fight a day later, right? Because they're sleeping at that time. Because it's like 4 or 5, maybe even 6 a.m. when the fights are on here. But the next day, they'll watch the fights.
Do they watch the entire thing or do they lose, you know, interest after a few minutes?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm going to have to ask.
Okay.
You're going to have to wait and answer on that.
Because sometimes I show my kids my work and they lose interest after 30 seconds. So I was wondering if yours was a little more enticing.
Yeah, I think they are a little more enticing.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you're in there fighting.
What? I mean, last fight was 5th round, right? Okay, are they going to watch 25 minutes? I don't know. But it is a good question. I'm going to ask.
By the way, something that I noticed on Saturday, and people were giving me, you know, some grief for this. I noticed, I don't see it often, and I don't know if it's an elevation thing, your team in Colorado, but I noticed between rounds, you turn around and you face the outside of the cage so that you can speak to the other coaches. Usually we see the guys sit there or the woman sit there and she's kind of facing her opponent with the coaches speaking back for her. But I noticed Neil Magny does it, Montana De La Rosa, several fighters do it where they face. Where did that come from? Because I think it's actually brilliant, and I don't understand why more fighters don't do that.
I don't know. For me, it's very normal. You know, even in sparring, I would look at my coaches, just level look. You listen a little bit better when you see a face, hear a voice to your face.
What is going on there? It's an incredible team. Like, you guys are on some kind of run, and I know each time we speak a little more about it, but I honestly still feel like Elevation doesn't get enough credit. Doesn't get, like, we focus on ATT and we focus on Jackson's and AKA and these camps. Why doesn't anyone talk about Elevation? It's incredible what you guys are doing over there. What is the secret?
They're definitely
to this?
On the rise, and I think that the recognition is coming, right? Mm-hmm. They've got some huge name in the team. Huge names, and it's the chemistry, right? It's cool guys, cool dudes with experience, high level of professionalism. They know what they're doing. For me, it was the same. I hadn't heard about him. I just went to Curtis, and then I got introduced to the coaches, to the team. Everybody's cool on the team, right? All the fighters, and all the coaches, so David, Christian, Christian Allen, Elliot Marshall, Cody Donovan. So it's the chemistry.
Mm. Did this move?
And these guys, say again?
Sorry, I was just wondering if this move extended your career in your opinion. If you don't make this move, maybe we're not talking about you winning fights at 40.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I'm ultimately responsible for my own actions and destiny. That being said, you know, when you're losing fights, you have to always analyze what's going on, what's happening. To me, you know, you need to not be stagnant. You need to always learn, always develop. There needs to always be something happening on that front. And these guys have the same mindset. I went there and I just went to check it out to Curtis. And I was learning again immediately. And I like the chemistry in the team. I like the values of the team. They're on the ball. They're cool people.
Wow. And so at this point, I know you talked a little bit about it going into the fight, but now that the fight is over, have you put a limit on the number of fights? Have you put a limit on the number of years? Where are you at in terms of the state of your career?
It'll probably be 1 or 2 more years. It'll probably be a couple more fights, 2 or 3.
That's it. 2 or 3.
Yeah.
How many fights left on this deal with the UFC that you have?
You're asking me again weird things.
What? That's not, is that a personal question?
Well, I'm not asking you how many years you how much a month do you make?
I'm not asking you how much you make. I'm just saying how many years left.
Exactly. So you're asking me things. I'm not asking you those things. But you can tell me how much you make.
But I didn't ask you how much you make. I just asked
you, Ariel. You never told me how much you make a month.
I'd be happy to tell you how many years left on my contract with ESPN. If I tell you how many years left on my contract with ESPN, would you tell me how many fights left on your deal with the UFC?
No, I'm not going to tell you. Listen, it
sounds
could be
like
two,
I won.
Could be 4 fights, could be 5 fights, but it's going to be 1 or 2 more years.
Okay.
And I am I have decided that, and I'll tell you why. Because it is a dangerous sport. It takes a lot out of me, the way I prepare, because I'm a perfectionist. I put everything possible in the balance. You know, I separate myself, I'm on diet, and all those things are great, right? Being on diet is good. That's good for my body, healthy. But we must not forget that it is a full contact sport. And I've been doing it for a number of years. Training for, 28 years? 28 years sparring, 28 years getting hit. I don't get hit often. And Team Elevation is awesome, awesome values, right? We do not injure each other. We're good for each other. But it is a full contact sport, and I have to be clever with my life, with my health. And after 25 years, if I compete another 2 years, I'll be fighting for 25 years. And these last few years, it has been 2 or 3 fights a year. But before that, it was 5, 6, 7 fights a year on average. And you're always in camp, you're always preparing, you're always traveling. And I think it is clever to stop while you're ahead, while you're on top. Mm-hmm. I've seen all the athletes, all the fighters that get damaged, and I don't want that for myself.
Do you find at this age that it takes you longer to recover, that you're slowing down a little bit? Like, do you feel the body reacts differently to the
recovery
fights?
Recovery definitely goes down, I would say, after 30. This is something that people don't really... your recovery slows down after 30. I would say 1% a year, so... That's 10 years now, so I would be at 90%.
Wow.
I mean, and look in the mirror. When you're 20, you go for a drink. The next day you wake up, you can go train, you can do whatever. If I go for that same drink now, I need a couple of days.
Right.
So your recovery goes down. That's a fact. And that's a sign, right? You're of course, you can pursue your dreams, but you should not go all crazy and keep going for years and years and years. You need also...
Would it be safe to say that you want to finish your career with the UFC?
Yeah. Beautiful organization. It's amazing the way they keep tilting the level to new heights, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Obviously, Stipe is the champ, just beat Daniel Cormier. If you were in charge, would you do Stipe versus Francis next? Do you think that's the fight? Because, you know, he's talking about John Jones, Brock Lesnar, boxing. What do you think is the most fair thing?
Yeah, Brock doesn't belong in the conversation, in my opinion. So John Jones does. I don't know. I don't know I'm not in the promoter chair.
Mm-hmm.
John Jones obviously is coming up now in weight. I don't know, but I think Francis is there too, right? He needs to get the title shot first.
It sounds like you don't even think Brock should be discussed. Like, you think we should all move on from Brock. Like, enough of this Brock talk.
Brock still has some USADA things to deal with, so he cannot be in this conversation. We have to keep taking UFC serious. We can't, and that's why we can't take Brock serious, because he's still got USADA things to deal with.
Okay, do you think he even comes back or no at this point?
At age of 43, 44, with still USADA hanging over his head, I do not think it is. I don't think that's a, you know, no, I don't think he's coming back.
I was surprised to hear you say that you'd be honored to welcome John Jones to the heavyweight division, considering you've trained with him and it seemed like you guys were buddies. Obviously, it's not personal, but why would that interest you?
Well, I don't have bad vibes with him. I just think it would be a good fight.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't have, you know, he was actually very nice to me while I was at Jackson's. I don't have difficulty fighting former teammates.
Mm. How do you think he would do at heavyweight?
I think he's going to do good. He's got my body frame. He's strong. He's technical. He was kind of flirting with the idea for a long time, right? He did very well against Orlovsky at the time.
Jones versus Stipe, who wins in your opinion?
That's a good fight. I don't know. Could go either way.
Jones versus Francis, who wins?
Could go either way.
No picks from you.
No.
You don't do picks. Alistair versus Jones, who wins?
Me, of course.
it doesn't sound like you're interested in the Jairzinho rematch. How come?
Well, I am. I am. Who says I'm not interested in him? I mean, I still have a score to settle, right? Mm. He stole something from me. He snuck away with the victory. I mean, I schooled the man. He knows it. Everybody knows it. The whole world knows it. But somehow he still has that W. So we definitely have some score to settle.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be on a 5-fight winning streak now if not for that.
Actually, I am. That's the way it feels to me.
Okay. So is that your pick? Like if they say to you, okay, Alistair, who do you want? Is that the pick?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, that's the one. Because on Saturday, it seemed like you weren't all that interested in it.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
That's not true. Why would I not be interested to run it back with him?
I don't know. Maybe you feel like you beat him and you want to move on with your life.
Well, it is not on paper, so we got to still do it.
Okay, so your top pick, if they gave you your choice, would be to fight Jairzinho again in your next fight.
Yes.
Has there been any talk of that?
No, not yet.
What did you think of his last performance?
Yeah, it was good, right? JDS.
You were going to say something there, and I cut you off.
Yeah, I don't remember you were interrupting. Keep interrupting us.
No preliminary talks.
Listen, I'm not that much of a talker, right?
Right.
It doesn't suit me either. UFC will have something in their mind, and we're going to dance with them.
Okay. By the way, speaking of dancing, your walkout song on Saturday, nice beat, felt like it put you in a good mood. I saw you comment on it. Any significance behind it?
DJ Rehab, friend of mine from Holland, mm-hmm. Cool guy, talented DJ. And yeah, so I was actually at a festival, this is a couple months ago, pre-COVID. And I heard it and I was like, hey, I want this. So I kind of know him. I'm in touch with him. So I'm like, yeah, make this for me, please. And he did. And it was cool. It worked, right? You liked it.
It was great. I remember a few years ago, I asked you about your walkout song. I think it was when you fought in Newark, UFC 169. And you wouldn't tell me. Remember you said you would tell me one day why that song meant something to you? You still haven't told me.
I don't remember.
It's too long ago. Yeah. You said I was like the salmon swimming upstream. You do remember, right? You do remember.
That sounds like something I would say, but UFC 169, that's like 100 UFCs ago.
Yeah, well, almost, yeah. You don't remember? Yeah, I feel like you remember all these things, Alistair.
No.
No? What about the sledgehammer? Who came up with that idea?
Oh, okay, so that was a different era, right? That's like two or three eras back.
Yes. Yes.
That the whole idea behind that was Japanese love that stuff, and then yeah, okay, pick a prop. Who are you gonna be? And then at that time, Demolition Man, the movie. Oh, I'm gonna be Demolition Man, and the Japanese loved it, and that made me walk out with a sledgehammer. I don't know. I did it for a couple of years.
Yeah. Did they give it to you, or no, did you?
No, I did myself, but I got annoyed with flying around with that thing. It's big. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore.
Oh, those were great. Maybe for the last fight, you bring it back? What do you think?
Then I got to fly around with it again.
Just one time. For your old fans.
For my old fans. It's been so long ago, right? Well, I don't know. I don't even know if they allow that to happen, right, in UFC.
Do you have it?
It is. It's actually right here. Let me show you.
No way. This is incredible. Alistair is going to show us the famous sledgehammer from the old Pride days. This is a treat for old school fans right here. I feel like I'm about to witness history.
There it is right there.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing.
Is. I'll wow. Walk up there actually.
Please, please, please. This is wonderful. Do you have a bunch of trophies there? What is that? Your trophy room?
Yeah, it's my trophy room.
Look at this guy right here, a living legend, one of the all-time greats, and not only MMA, but kickboxing, showing us his trophy room. What an honor this is.
But here is the hammer.
Oh my gosh. A real piece of combat sports history right here.
Get this out.
Oh yeah, look at that. So is this your trophy room, Alistair?
Yes, I got the Pride trophies, Strikeforce.
Oh my gosh.
K1 Grand Prix. This is my first trophy. Okay, and this is my second, November 1597, and this is November 2198. This is Dream, and his K1 has some more of Strike Force.
Wow.
Gloves, some wraps.
I'm in awe of this. This is great.
Dream Heavyweight.
Yeah. Todd Duffy.
Yep. This was my first world title, 205.
Too hot to handle.
Yeah. October 10, 2004. Strikeforce gloves. Probably the best.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those were great. The blue ones. Alistair, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for this. I feel you have reinvigorated me just looking at this stuff. It's always a pleasure, my friend, seeing that wonderful smile of yours. And congratulations. And enjoy the victory with your family. And we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Sound like a plan.
What's something that works so well that it's basically magic? Air conditioning, noise-canceling headphones, meeting-free Fridays. Well, what about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch at your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-order stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're auctioning autograph apparel or selling sleek skis, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/DCRC. All lowercase, go to shopify.com/DCRC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/DCRC.
As longtime fans of the show know, I have enjoyed developing a relationship with Alistair Overeem, one of my favorites in the history of this game. And I love talking to him about his career, the highs and lows, the happy moments, the sledgehammer, all that stuff. It's a great trip down memory lane. And when you consider that this man has been fighting since the 90s, has won multiple belts in multiple organizations, has won a K1 World Grand Prix title, and the fact that in his 40s, he is still a player and could easily be on a five-fight winning streak, it's pretty amazing. And I know he didn't start off very good against Sakai, and he has his reasons, but it's pretty incredible. Because it was a time, not that long ago, he lost two in a row, he was getting knocked out, and people thought he was done. He ain't done. Y'all must have forgot. Alistair Overeem, still a player in 2020, going to 2021. It's pretty remarkable. Now, speaking of remarkable, how about this situation with Gerald Merchant? How about this situation? They book Khamzat Chimaev, the hype train himself, who's deserving, by the way, of all the hype. Let's not, you know, kid ourselves. But they book him against Gerald Merchant next weekend, September 19th. And they already say that they have Khamzat's next fight booked in November against Damian Maia. Now, they sometimes do this sort of thing behind the scenes. They've got the guy's next fight booked. Yeah, but they don't make it public. And oh, by the way, when they announce the fight, they don't skip over who the next fight is against. They didn't even say Gerald Merchant's name. When Dana White mentioned this scenario, he didn't even say Gerald Merchant's name. I don't even know if he can say Gerald Merchant's name. But here we are, and Gerald Merchant is getting ready to shock the world. He's got me all fired up. He tells everyone, including myself, that he is going to shock the world. He is disrespected. He feels slighted. And he's got a thing or two to show Khamzat Chimaev on September 19th. Here's my conversation with GM3, a.k.a. Gerald Merchant. Prepare to be fired up. And now let us say hello to UFC middleweight Gerald Merchart, who we found out late last week will be fighting against Khamzat Chimaev on September 19th. This is a fascinating story because we also found out that the UFC has tentatively booked Khamzat Chimaev versus Damian Maia in October. But first things first, he has to get by Gerald. And this is a very unique story, and I appreciate Gerald for joining us here for a few minutes to talk about it all. Gerald, how are you?
I'm great, Ariel. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I believe this is the first time officially that we speak in an interview setting, so I appreciate you doing this, and it's great to have you on. Like I said, I'm fascinated by this story, so I have a lot of questions. But I do want to ask you first how you're feeling, because you were supposed to fight just a few weeks ago against Ed Herman, but we found out on fight day that the fight was canceled after you you tested positive for COVID-19. So how are you feeling?
I feel great. I was one of the few very fortunate people that my symptoms were extremely mild. I had a stuffy nose for a couple days. And other than that, I was still able to like work out at home and stuff. I have a little home gym set up. So I stayed in pretty good shape. And, you know, I'll be ready come September 19th.
And when that happened, because I know that they test you when you arrive in Vegas, but then they also test you after the weigh-ins. The initial test you passed, you were negative, and then on fight day you found out that you were positive?
Correct. So we take a test when we fly in Tuesday, like you said, and then right after weigh-ins we get tested again. So I got woke up by a phone call about 8 a.m. and they said, all right, well, you tested positive on your last one, so we're going to give you another test. And then you got to wait 4 more hours to see if it was a false positive or not. And that was probably one of the longest 4-hour stretches of my life.
And, of course, you were involved with the Ian Heinisch situation back in June where we thought that he was out of the fight, right? So this has obviously affected you a lot. And correct me if I'm wrong, now, were you supposed to fight this weekend as well and that fight got postponed? Obviously, you're now fighting September 19th, but what happened there?
Right. So we tried to reschedule the fight at Herman September 12th. And it was one of those things where I thought I could still maintain and be ready, but I kept getting retested and I just kept coming up positive and positive. And there's no way to tell how often it's going to happen. And at this point it was like 3-4 weeks that I was coming back positive all the time. And my coach, myself and my manager, we all talked and we decided, you know, best to just tell them now. I don't want to waste my time and drive out there and test again. I don't want to waste Ed Herman's time, and I definitely don't want to waste the UFC's time. You know, I fly out to try and give this guy a fight again and then just test positive for, you know, now I got to drive home again for really no reason. So, but then very shortly after that, very fortunately, I got a negative test finally. So it should be good unless, you know, that one was wrong, but they sent one. I just took one a little bit earlier just to double check and make sure, and we should all be set.
Okay. And by the way, are you driving from Wisconsin to Vegas?
No. When I left Vegas, I drove back to Wisconsin.
Oh my gosh. How long did that take? Yeah.
I chopped it up into about 3 days. So, you know, the drive through Utah and Colorado was very beautiful. And after that, it was a long drive.
Oh my. And especially when you think that you're going to fight, I mean, it's kind of a bit of a downer, right? You think you're going to fight, you're now driving home with no fight. Not exactly the happiest of times, but the good news is September 19th, you do have a fight. Could I ask you, when did they approach you about this fight against Khamzat?
I heard about it about a day before the internet did. So pretty much when you guys heard about it is when I said yes.
Wow. Okay. So that's not that long ago, because we found out late last week.
Yeah. I think I found out like Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay. And what was your reaction when you got the name Khamzat Chimaev as your next opponent? Obviously, I'm assuming you have now heard of him, right?
Oh, yeah. I saw his fights. I had heard of him. And as soon as they told me, I was like, yes, most definitely yes.
Why most definitely yes? I would imagine there are a lot of people who might not say that right now after seeing his first two UFC fights.
Because I'm tied for the most submissions in the middleweight division in the UFC, Ariel. I am the kryptonite to his Superman, all right? Everything he does well, I can turn that into a bad situation for him, and I'm going to show everyone that on September 19th.
Given that, and given your record, and given how good you are on the ground, are you surprised that they are booking you against him?
Not really, because I get overlooked a lot, and, you know, not to be like everyone's against me type of guy or anything, but if I'm being honest with myself, and I'm sure everyone's going to look at my record, you know, I'm just above 500 in the UFC. I've beaten some all right guys, and then every time I try to make that next step up, I seem to have a little hiccup, and I'm trying to correct that right now. So they're probably figuring, okay, we'll give him a quick turnaround. He's got a lot of energy behind his name. This guy will be a decent test, but he should be okay, and then we're going to try and, like, force him onto some bigger name after this.
Yeah, so it's very interesting because if you were just looking at this fight in a vacuum, given his first two opponents and now given you and where you're at, it kind of makes sense. Like, there's a natural progression there, right? I feel like they're kind of moving him along the right way. But then you find out about the Damian Maia fight, which I'm told isn't signed just yet, but it's something that they want for October. And Dana White, when he told this to the media late last week on Friday, I believe, he mentioned the Maia fight and said that they had another fight before. Like, he didn't even mention your name. He mentioned the Maia fight, but didn't mention your name. What is your reaction when you find out that not only are they booking him against you, but they also have his next fight booked against a legend like Damian Maia?
Look, Ariel, plain and simple, it's disrespect, right? He's got to get through me. Like I said, I have tied for the record most submissions in the middleweight division. I'm a dangerous fighter. I'm a game fighter. And look, I get it. He's undefeated. He's young. He fights just like Khabib, who's on a hot streak right now, got a lot of big following. And I'm pretty sure he took the two closest fights back-to-back, you know, probably in UFC history. A lot of steam coming in behind his name. But you know what? You know, if you want to root for – and this is the thing. I'm not undefeated, right? Like I said, I'm not going to be the blue-chip prospect. But you know what I can do? I can be the Miracle on Ice. I can be Cinderella Man. If you want to watch somebody that's, you know, scratched and clawed their way to get where they're at, then watch me. I got the blood, sweat, and you know, under my fingernails just from trying to fight my way back in it. And let me tell you something, Ariel. All these young kids coming up that think they can get by with eight perfect wins like that, it's not going to happen. Look, he has never met resistance in any of his UFC fights. Every time he goes out there, he just runs right through people. What's going to happen when Khamzat runs into somebody that doesn't do exactly what he wants? What's going to happen when he tries to play out his game plan and what he wants to do turns into a nightmare? And that's what we're going to find out.
I love this, Gerald. So you are assuming the underdog role here. You like this.
I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, there's nothing that gets me out of bed more than when people tell me I can't do something. You know what I mean? And this is the perfect example. We've got a young, hungry fighter from across the sea that wants to come into the USA and try and beat one of their most hardworking, underrated fighters in the nation, right? I've been around this game for a long, long time. Started fighting in 2007. I paid my dues, and it's time for me to start cashing in.
Would you have preferred, and maybe not, maybe you like it, you know, the way it's kind of laid out here, but it's very rare. Like, obviously the UFC has plans, right? They know that this guy, if he gets by that guy, is going to fight that guy for the top dogs, right? But it's very rare that they actually tell us who's next before the upcoming fight, right? Like, it's very rare that they double book someone like this. How do you feel about the cut? Like, it's one thing for him to accept these fights, but it's another for the promotion to do it as well. How do you feel about them doing it and making it public?
Hey, I just get a chance to spoil their plans. You know what I mean? I'm going to take all his thunder and I'm going to run with it. So whatever happens on the 19th, people are going to know my name a lot better from now on. And I'm going to inflict pain because even if I want to walk out of that cage and somehow, let's say I, you know, lose a controversial decision or something, I promise you one thing. Khamzat is not going to be physically able to fight come October. As soon as he steps out of that cage, he's going to need at least 6 months to recover from what I'm going to do to him.
Okay. So he has looked, I mean, virtually unbeatable thus far in the UFC, the two fights. People aren't even landing a single punch on him. Do you see holes in his game from what you've seen?
I mean, it's hard to see holes in someone's game when they get such easy fights. You know what I mean? He fought a guy that came up from lightweight to fight him at welterweight. So he fought an undersized welterweight, really. And then he fought a guy who was a middleweight who, from what I heard, had a rough weight cut. Didn't look like he had a ton of energy. And if we're being honest, he's dangerous if you decide to stand and slug with him. So now he's got to fight somebody. Not only can I strike, but I'm very, very good in the grappling department. And even though he's forced himself into a spot where he thinks if he's on top, he's winning. He might not necessarily be winning. And guess what? If he's one of those tough guys that talks about, oh, I tap, that's fine. I'll snap your arm off or I'll put you to sleep. I put two people to sleep in the UFC already, so it's nothing new to me.
What impresses you about him?
I think he's going to be very mentally tough. I think I can break him, but it's not going to be easy. And I'm not going to kid myself about that or lie about it to anybody. look, you're 8-0, you almost expect to win. And I think he's still working hard, but there's something about someone that insists on doing what they want to do in the fight no matter what else is going on. He's going to come out, he's either going to throw a head kick or some strike, and he's going to shoot. Every single fight, it goes, drops to his knee, shoots the double leg. If he misses that, he comes up to a body lock, and then he mat returns. And then he's going to force you to his corner, try to get you against the cage, and he's going to wrist ride and try to beat you up until he can choke you. Well, I got answers for all of that, and he's going to do the exact same thing the whole fight. He has no idea what I'm going to do to him.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, obviously, a massive fight, massive stakes. You're fired up. But in reality, you're getting, 2 weeks to prepare for it? In a perfect world, would you have preferred a little more time?
I mean, maybe in a perfect world, Ariel, but it's not a perfect world. You know what I mean? Like I said, I've been fighting since 2007. I got almost 50 fights. If I don't know how to fight by now, what am I even doing? If he was to show up right now in the parking lot, we can scrap it out right now. You know, I'm a vet. I got plenty of tools in my tool bag. I'll figure it out.
And I understand that you are actually in Missouri right now training with your fellow teammate, Tyron Woodley, who's headlining that card against Colby Covington. How long have you been there? Because, I mean, I would imagine, I mean, Tyron, what a great training partner to have for this particular fight, right? Given his wrestling background. How long have you been in Missouri with Tyron?
Actually, I was training all up in Milwaukee. I got up early this morning, drove down, just got done with training in our advanced UFC COVID test. So, you know, I hopped out of the car and I got to work. And that's exactly what I'm going to do on the 19th. You know, like I said, I'm a veteran fighter. I've been in it for a while, and there's nothing I love doing more.
I also noticed a couple of weeks ago, probably before that you even knew that you were going to fight Khamzat, you were training with Bo Nickel, who's, a great collegiate wrestler who is making the transition to MMA. I'm wondering if he's helping you for this particular fight. Is he still there at Rufus? Is he still around, or did he go back home?
He went back, but, you know, Bo was a great guy to go with, you know, very, very knowledgeable in the grappling department. I was very, very blessed to be able to work with him for a few days, and man, what a great body. He's going to do really, really well in MMA, and, you know, we were both picking our brains about different things, and, you know, if I can go around and wrestle with guys like Tyron and Bo Nickel and get some of that good old-fashioned American folk-style wrestling. You know, Khamzat's freestyle wrestling isn't going to hold a candle to that, especially for MMA, so I think I'll be just fine.
Are you the kind of guy that watches a lot of tape on your opponent? And if so, have you been able to find non-UFC fights of his to watch?
I've seen clips of his non-UFC fights, and obviously I watch both of his UFC fights. But look, like I said, I broke it down for you earlier, Ariel. He does the exact same thing every time. You can go watch one of his fights right now. He's going to, unless he gets punched at, he's going to throw something big, drop to his knee, shoot a double. If he misses that, he comes up to a body lock, and then he goes, referee's position, basically wrist ride, tries to, or he'll clasp the legs if you're on your butt, and then he just tries to beat you up until he gets a choke. That's all he does.
As simple as that. Why can't anyone figure it out then?
I don't know, man. Apparently people stop doing jiu-jitsu or something, because it's almost like you get to a point with some guys in MMA that they feel like they can only win from certain positions. I can win from anywhere. I've won fights off my back. I've had to ground and pound guys and get a choke. I've knocked guys out before. So, you know, I think if you're well-rounded and you understand, like, I'm dangerous from any single position. The only place I see Khamzat dangerous is in is when he's, you know, doing what he wants to do. So we're going to see, you know, the famous Ted Lee Atlas quote, what's going to happen when you meet resistance? What's going to happen when you get in there with somebody who doesn't do what you want to do and you get smacked in the face?
Have you had a chance to look at the odds just yet?
I assume he's probably like minus 400 and I'm like plus 600 or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, I mean, I actually just got him, and it's actually not. I don't know. You tell me. Maybe I'm wrong here, but these are the odds as we are speaking right this moment. Khamzat -500. You are a +385 as of right now. What do you think of that?
That's about what I expected. Yeah. So if you want to make some money, come bet on me on the 19th.
Are you the kind of guy that bets on yourself? Would you bet on yourself here?
I gamble with my body enough. I don't need to gamble with my money.
Fair enough. So you have this opportunity, and he has the opportunity against Damon. Maybe we could get it in writing. If you win, if you pull up the upset and you're, you know, pretty healthy, then why can't you get the Damian Maia fight? That would be a big fight for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to it. However, I am not cutting to 170 to fight Damian Maia, so he would have to come up, and I don't know if he wants to do that. And again, I'm not going to overlook Khamzat. Like I said, he's a young, tough kid. He wants to get in there and win, and he has it set in his mind that he's not going to give up. So it's going to be a tough test. But if I do get past that and everything goes according to plan, then we can see if he wants to move up to – Maia wants to move up to 85 again, but I'm not worried about that too much right now.
It is interesting that they're putting him in there against two jiu-jitsu guys, two guys who are very comfortable off their back. That's somewhat surprising, right?
Yeah, which also makes me think that I'm kind of a warm-up, so to speak, for Damian Maia. Which is, it's hard to say it's insulting because it's Damian Maia, right? Like, he's one of the best jiu-jitsu fighters ever. But, you know, I'm going to take it that way because I'm me, and I think I can be just as good, if not better.
That's right. You should feel that way. And so in this situation, you have, you know, I guess a little more, you know, a little more than a week to go to, what is it? 10 or so days. And I know you took the fight on relative short notice. Is this going to be a tough weight cut for you? Are you a guy? Because I know you were going to fight at 205 prior to this. Like, are you concerned at all about the weight? For him, it probably won't be a problem, right? Because he can fight at 170 and this is at 185. But what about for you?
I should be fine. I never get that heavy. I'm, you know, weight-wise, I'm not a huge middleweight by any means. And really, right now, I'm probably about the same spot I would be in even if I had planned a fight coming up. So I'll be pretty comfortable coming into fight week.
Now, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it does seem like you're not, like, overly blown away by him. You feel like it's fairly obvious what he's going to do. Would it be fair to say that you think that he is overhyped, that maybe he doesn't deserve all this praise? I mean, he's getting a ton of praise. Do you feel like it's not deserved just yet, considering who he has fought?
Oh, I think he can have all the hype he wants, but just stop giving him hype when he's about to fight me and thinking that it's going to be a walk in the park. That's what really ticks me off.
I love it. I love it. You're getting me fired up. I want to watch this fight tonight. I love this. Someone needs to assume this. You can't just be a nice guy in there and play the role of the guy who's going to lay down. You got to go in there. I love that picture that you posted as well. Stopping the hype train. This is great stuff. This is the kind of stuff that gets me fired up. We've lost some of this in this sport, Gerald.
I know. I'm trying to bring it back, Ariel. Look, these people don't understand that part of this is an entertainment business. And you know what? If you're having fun doing what you're doing, there's nothing better, and there's nothing more that I love than laying hands on somebody, especially when they're, you know, bringing someone in like this that thinks they're going to be the best ever. And you know what? Last time I checked, when the two superpowers collided, it was the USA that came out on top. So I think we're going to have a repeat of that Saturday night, and I'm going to show the world that we got some of the best grappling in the world.
I thought you were talking about Macho Man and Hulk Hogan, the mega powers colliding, but you were talking about USA and USSR.
Yes.
Are you a big pro wrestling fan?
Oh, not at all. Why do you ask that?
I don't know. I feel like the way you kind of talk and you set up the fights, it are you kidding? Are you messing with me?
I'm messing with you, yeah. Of course I'm a big wrestling fan, Ariel. What red-blooded American isn't a wrestling fan? Come on now.
Did you grow up looking up to the wrestlers? And is that part of why you get the showmanship and the entertainment part of this game as well? Because a lot of people don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I should run a class on this, right? They got those master class videos. I'm going to start a video of my own. Growing up, and I had a lot of buddies that were into it. We would riff off each other all the time, and now it's real life. I really mean this. Don't think this is an act just because I watch wrestling and I said all these things. I'm really going in there to put a hurting on that guy. Like, September 19th, they close the cage. It's going to be absolute pandemonium.
I love it. Pandemonium in an empty arena. This is great. You're going to bring it. I love it. Who are some of your guys that you watched growing up?
Obviously, well, as you know from earlier, big fan of the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Yes.
So that was a big one. I was young enough at the time. I was also a big fan of The Rock, and I was a fan of CM Punk, who's now my training partner, Mr. Phil Brooks himself.
Is he still showing up to the gym these days?
Yeah, he's being a little more cautious, you know, with the COVID going around, especially because he still has his place in Chicago, but he's still training.
Okay. And by the way, why is your nickname GM3? I always wondered that.
That's my initials. Gerald Mershart III, and it just has a nice ring to it. GM3 kind of sounds like GSP. People are used to it. You know, don't want to confuse MMA Twitter too much, so.
That's right, GM3, GSP. Yeah, it is kind of the same. And I'd be remiss if I don't ask about your saxophone. You're well known as the greatest saxophonist in UFC history, if I got that right. Where does that come from? Why did you get into that particular instrument?
I was a really big fan of blues growing up, and it was something I wanted to do. I did it all through school. I've said this before. Funny enough, before I started fighting, I was actually going to college very briefly to become a music teacher. So that was my path before. And then, you know, super easy, similar transition into cage fighting.
That's right. Do you ever wish you stuck with that? Like, do you ever long for those days? Do you feel like it would be a simpler life?
No. Being a teacher right now? No, absolutely
that's
not. I don't know how you Zoom conference teach a bunch of kids for music class. That would be very, very tough.
Do you still play?
Yeah, I'll play some stuff here and there. I'm probably a lot more rusty now than I used to be, but I can still hang a little bit.
I only know of one famous saxophonist. Maybe I'm missing one. I obviously know of the great Lisa Simpson. She's the only one that comes to mind. Who, in your opinion, is the greatest of all time in that regard?
Coltrane was a really good saxophone player. Charlie Parker is probably the guy that most jazz old school people are like really high on, so he was really good too.
Okay, yeah, I have heard of Charlie Parker. Okay, so to round this out, September 19th, Khamzat Chimaev. Gerald, I don't know if you know this, Khamzat Chimaev already has his next fight booked. He's fighting in October against Damian Maia. I don't know if anyone's told you this. He thinks he's going to come in there in Las Vegas. They moved mountains. I heard they moved mountains to get him a visa to come to Vegas to give him a showcase fight on one of the biggest cards of the year, Colby Covington versus Tyron Woodley. They found a guy who perhaps they think is dumb enough to take this fight, and they've already booked him in his next fight. Could you believe this, Gerald? Could you believe? So could you tell us what's going to happen on September 19th? Can you paint the picture for us? Can you play us this song?
Ariel Helwani, September 19th, two men are going to walk into a cage, and only one man is going to walk out of that cage with both legs underneath him, and that man goes by the name of GM3.
Let's go. You want to give us more detail or do you want to keep it to yourself?
I'll keep it to myself.
Okay, fair enough. Gerald, I appreciate this very much. This was a lot of fun. I wish you the best, man. I love the way you're handling this. I think it's the perfect way to go about it. And I wish you nothing but the best come September 19th. So good luck to you. Thank you for doing this and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Ariel. I really appreciate it. Black Lives Matter.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
First time talking to Gerald Mershart, I got to say, I am a fan. I love that he's playing this up. I love that he has embraced the role of the spoiler, of the underdog. Not saying that he's going to win the fight. Obviously, the cards are not exactly in his favor, but crazier things have happened. Khamzat looks really good, but Gerald's good off his back. Who knows? I'm into it. I can't wait. Another fun fight for September 19th. Now, as for this weekend, UFC is back. It was supposed to be Glover Teixeira against Thiago Santos. Unfortunately, Glover tested positive for COVID-19, so that fight has been moved to October 3rd, Fight Island. We found out officially that they'll be going to Fight Island in Abu Dhabi for 5 straight weeks, beginning with UFC 253. That won't be the main event, by the way, on that card. It's going to be Irene Aldana against Holly Holm. So the new main event this weekend is Angela Hill against Michelle Waterson. And this is notable for two reasons. Angela Hill, the first Black American female to headline a UFC event, also the first female in UFC history to fight at least 4 times in consecutive years. Pretty remarkable how active she's been. So this is a big fight for both of them, especially when you consider the fact that a year ago this time, you know, Michelle Waterson thought that she'd be fighting for the title, and she's now lost 2 in a row. Big fight for her. Angela Hill has to get back on track, so I'm looking forward to that one. I want to send my best wishes to Randy Couture, who got injured in an ATV accident. Spoke to his manager, Sam Spire. This happened earlier this week, and he did suffer some serious injuries, but they are hopeful that he'll make a full recovery. He will have to go and get surgery, but I hope that Randy and his girlfriend make a speedy recovery. So I wanted to send my best out to him. Speaking of Randy Couture obviously works for PFL these days. We've been all wondering what's going on with Michael Chandler, still a free agent. I'm told that we are going to hear something maybe in the next couple weeks regarding where he's headed. PFL, very much a player. UFC interested. I'd be surprised if he goes back to Bellator, to be honest with you. But you know, maybe at the end of the day, Hail Mary, they try to sign him. But PFL a player, UFC a player, one a player. So those are obviously all the big names. But Chandler is playing the field, and I'm really curious to see interesting fights for him in all those spots. I'm curious to see where he ends up, and hopefully we'll get an answer to that question in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that. Now, speaking of Bellator, they've got a big weekend coming up. They've got 2 events. We've got the UFC on Saturday. We've got 2 Bellators this weekend. We've got Friday's card, Bellator 245, headlined by Phil Davis versus Leona Machida. Also got the debut of Kat Zingano for Bellator, Ed Ruth, Raymond Daniels on that card as well. So I am looking forward to that one. And also Bellator 246 features a great main event between Juan Archuleta and Patchy Mix for the vacant bantamweight title. That's a phenomenal fight at 135. John Fitch against Neiman Gracie, the debut of Liz Carmouche, Derek Campos on that card as well. And this will likely be the final Bellator card on the Paramount Network as they make their move over to CBS Sports Network and perhaps eventually CBS and Showtime, though that is not set in stone. So a bit of history this weekend as well. So a very busy weekend. And by the way, Betch Kohea announced her retirement as well. She's going to retire in December with 1 more UFC fight. So that is notable too. So a lot going on, as always, in the world of MMA. That's the quick rundown. For now, though, time for everyone's favorite segment of the week. It is time for TST's Minimalist Tip of the Week. And as always, it is brought to you by Modelo. Setting the gold standard for authentic Mexican beer since 1925, Modelo Especial. Brewed for those with a fighting spirit.
TST's Minimalist Tip of the Week.
Erno, I wanted to pass along a minimalist tip from one of my friends. As you know, I am not a social media person. I deleted my Facebook years ago, so I really don't know much about Facebook Marketplace, but I have this friend who told me that she was going through some of her closets and found all sorts of old school materials and books and things that other people would definitely be wanting. She sold some clothes. She ended up basically selling a bunch of stuff, cutting out half of the possessions in her life, per my minimalism advice, and sold them all on Facebook Marketplace. I've talked about donating things, different places you can, but you can also sell some of the things that you have if they still have value, things you want to get rid of. So Facebook Marketplace is apparently a great place to go. So check it out.
Wow. How about this? TST with an ad for Facebook Marketplace. I like it. How much did they pay you for that?
I cannot disclose the terms of that. If you can't talk about how much money you're making with Overeem here, I can't either.
By the way, I was ready to divulge everything. I was hoping.
I don't know.
Well, I one-upped them and I said, I'll tell you. And I was even asking him about how much he made. I don't know why fighters...
Yeah, I don't know why he's being so fishy about it. That's like, an honest question.
In every single sport, we know how many years left on this guy's deal. That, I mean, we even know how much they make to the penny. But for some reason in our sport, it's taboo to ask not how much you make, how many fights left on your deal. If anything, I would want that out there. I would want to create some demand. I think the smart place to do that. But hey, who am I? What do I know about any of this? Anyway, thank you very much, TST. Thank you very much, Alistair Overeem. Thank you very much, Joe Mershart. Thank you very much to all of you for continuing to rate, download, subscribe, and review. I appreciate it, not just this show, but the Monday show with DC as well. DC and Hawani, we're doing a lot of fun things over here on the ESPN MMA platform. Check them out on Twitter and Instagram. New York Rick and Tessa do a great job with the Twitter and Instagram feed at ESPN MMA, and the YouTube channel is on fire. YouTube.com/ESPN MMA. All right, we're out of time. Thanks as always. Much love. Back next week, same time and place. Till they say peace, I'm out of here.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.